Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 3 characters. Brayden.
Velik Dagar, half-elf, hexblade warlock.
Caleb.
I am Kaito Itata. I have an axe. I'm a warforged barbarian.
Brandon.
Ikurok Poonflay.
Blood hunter, half-orc.
Tomo.
I'm playing Steve Tehiman. I am a human ranger.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
What kind of warrior knit?
Hey, be careful. He fights as well as he knits.
I'm going to use my lamp oil, and if there's any barrels or anything on the outside of the building, light those on fire.
You yes. Teenage pyro.
Man, I do want to light something on fire.
Has everybody seen Ruff?
There is a poison sprayed half-orc guard reeling back.
Well, they don't know it's poison yet.
I jump out.
Where's Amumu?
I jump out again. I try and draw her attention back towards me. I yell out, like,
Where's run Amumu? Outside the back door!
Velik runs towards the constable, dives on top of her, and at the same time casts disguise self to look exactly like her.
The old switcheroo! The old switcheroo!
The half-orc who you poison sprayed in the nostril looks up at you, Rook Gorvas! It's a Poonslay! Gorvas?
What? What are you talking about?
Episode 18, The Fire Inside.
Hey, Rob, the dock number 2, is that where our sea pickle resides currently?
That is where you left the sea pickle, yeah. Okay. That's where you left the sea pickle.
Okay, cool.
So, this is where he lit a barrel fire, which we're going to talk about.
Has he lit it? Or has he lit
we're gonna,
it?
We're going to let D4 decide. So, I have conditions on the fire.
I was going to say.
Definitely left Steve at a crucial moment and a great cliffhanger with all the action going back and forth. Yeah. Of course, we moved right on, and the last thing that Steve said was, I use my lamp oil. Are there some barrels? Yeah. Yes, there were. The funny thing right now is that nobody can see the fire. Steve then went on to leave the perimeter, and I had some back and forth on the Discord with Steve to ask him, did you walk away? Or did you wait for a blaze to start? And Steve, what did you decide?
No, I just left. I figured Steve is pretty good at lighting fires and knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's not rubbing sticks together.
Yeah, when it comes to like dousing something in lamp oil, and I've got a tinder box, it's a lot easier than doing it out in the wilderness. What I would also say is, I retroactively asked to get inspiration for getting out of the Sailor's Choice when I did.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that guys, you know, I forgot to add inspiration to your sheets. I did remember to top up Beleg because he had used one and it was top of my mind to replace his. But actually, both Steve and Rook, you were sitting on one each before last episode. And Tata, you had two, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you all have got two more inspiration.
Huzzah. Huh.
Now, as I re-listened, I mean, I thought the last episode was just full of key, like, character moments and really clever stuff. You can't win everything by... well, we'll see.
Yeah, totally.
Poison spritzing people.
What I wanted to bring up, too, is I will waive one of those inspiration points if I can get either the maximum or a reroll on that fire.
On the fire?
You're going to do. Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing we're going to do now, but nobody will know, like, even if whatever it is, I'm not going to tell you, Steve, because you went away. But here we go.
I want it big.
Okay.
None of us can see that.
I'm going to tell you. So here are the conditions that I kind of made up. And in all conditions, there's going to probably be some guards distracted. So a one, it smolders and it goes out. Two, it lights and it may start licking up the side of the warehouse. Three, it lit. It stays lit and it starts fucking that warehouse on fire. And four, there was something pretty exciting in those barrels, something pretty flammable, like who knows, maybe sawdust or something. And wow, that's going to be different. And in each stage I have, you may attract 5 or 10 or 20. So I think it was a good move. Steve, here we go.
I think, and as I said, I would like to apply for either advantage or like a top roll if possible.
Okay, I will tell you. It was either a 3 or a 4.
Oh, shit.
That's all I can ask for.
Okay, so yeah, you don't feel the need to juice that up a bit?
I don't need to know, but like I said, if we could do an advantage situation where it's roll twice, pick the highest, then I will do simply that.
Even between 3 and 4, like knowing you just got a 3 or 4?
I want to see how far we can go. If we can get the max, then...
Oh, then yeah, you can spend 1 point, and now it's just essentially odds or evens. I'll even give you better odds than that.
Yeah, yeah. Roll advantage,
okay,
please.
Spend a hard-earned point, and in this case, then, just odds or evens on a D6.
Just Steve running slow-mo.
Steve, it's your fire, or it's your lamp oil on barrels. It's the world's fire now. It's the world's oxygen. What do you want? Odds or evens?
I always pick odds.
Okay, so if I hit an odd, you automatically want the highest condition on that fire.
Yeah.
It's a 1. Okay, now we're mixing a bit of player knowledge with character knowledge, but certainly this is going to have this is going to play a role in, say, the first 1 minute of what you guys decide to do. So we did roll initiative at the top of the last couple minutes there. We had Rook at 18. We had a roll off between Beleg and Kaito at 12. A lot of the guards that were near Kaitoa, I grouped as one, and they were kind of next in the order. And I wanted to ask you, Rook, you dealt some damage, that poison spray.
Yeah.
Is he poisoned? Is he under a condition where he's going to take ongoing damage?
Let me give you the rundown of my spell there. So poison is... exactly is, you extend your hand towards a creature you can see within range and project a puff of nauseous gas from your palm. The creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 1d12 poison damage, which we did. Spell's damage increases by 1d12 when you reach higher levels.
Okay, so the target spell is not poisoned, as in the condition. It's just damage. Got it. Okay. So, Rook, as you said something very clever along the lines of it should only hurt a bit or something like that.
Yeah.
But initiative, I mean, blades were being drawn, and you guys will remember Vinny shouting out simultaneously. That was one of our final beats. Vinny shouting out, "Let's not go down here at all!" And then Beleg as Gorvas responding to the poisoned guard, saying he's seen a Poonslay, and he was luckily Beleg. He can only see you. The poisoned guard that just got sprayed can only see one Gorvas, because, of course, there's this big rowboat bar. So luckily, in this one guard's field of view, the one who's addressing you right now, he can only see one Gorvas, and it's you. Beleg, you had told all of the people to put their spears away near Kaitoa, and they had, and that was their move. So essentially, Beleg and Kaitoa, you can either roll off, or you can do something clever RP, and you can decide who's going to go first.
I mean, I haven't done anything. I think I said in the moment I was still on a knee, but I had my one remaining hand axe that they didn't know about. Readied or like my hand behind my back, bowing and just listening. And then I started to knit, but I still think I have no reason to, or they have no reason to just start attacking me. So I'm, and none of, no, has anyone drawn weapons on me?
No. And in this case, no, Kaitoa, they've backed off. And all of the four around you paid attention to Beleg as Gorvas. The six looking at Beleg as Gorvas saw the switcheroo and are looking at two versions.
Gorvas?
Is there like a kind of like a dull moment of like them just like not knowing what to do?
If there was ever going to be one, this is it.
I yell at them and point or like and say like,
what are you waiting for? Arrest her.
And actually, I'm going to do like an intimidation check.
Point at who?
The four guys in front of me.
Yeah, like, but like arrest me or arrest Fate?
No, no, the Fate girl, the unconscious one, like you accused of being like, she's an imposter.
Oh, fuck.
Roll intimidation. See if you can improve on your out of gas, wet fart.
A one, but I'm going to use my inspiration.
There you go.
There you go. That again.
The construct is a good tinker.
It's a 12. Not amazing.
Okay, after a couple of sputters, your whole body exudes your steam blast. And these four do step away. Beleg, they have heard you. And in this moment, all four of them are beginning to turn towards the two Gorvas situation. But at the same time, you see Vinny jumping over the passed out dwarf that is really just a prop now that you guys have moved around several times. his compatriot there, Garl, looks up. And he has his small scimitar in his hand, but again, he's bandaged really bad. Kaitoa, what would be left in your move? You've rolled intimidation. And while you are, standing up and the attention is off you, all of the guards are starting to murmur,
Gorvas!
Gorvas!
You're in two places at once.
What are we gonna do here?
Take with your head, boys. There's only one Gorvas, and he's on the ground.
And as you say that, Beleg, the guard who has been sprayed, walks about a foot up and does take in the situation and sees that there are indeed two Gorvas. The next people in initiative would be, good old Aegon. He is going to run out the front door. He's been playing your charade only as long as the whole charade fell apart. He was stomped into subservience by Rook, but now he's just busting out the front door. And it sounds like he is alerting, what looks to be like, again, one of the lieutenants. He is out the front door.
Ah, what a bitch.
All of the waitresses and bar staff and the couple of ladies that came from upstairs are plastered to the wall. Again, they are not moving in this tense moment.
I definitely want to try and, what would it be, roll intimidation on the two guards closest to the downed Gorvas, and tell them to cuff her, like to put her in shackles.
Perfect, then. In the same moment the poison face guard was looking at you and seeing that, roll towards those nearest guards and yeah, give them that specific instruction.
Well, that's not very good.
Oh. Inspiration?
Yeah, I'm going to use an inspiration.
Everyone, we need out of this, guys.
Yeah, I know. That was a 4. That would have been a 9. Okay, inspiration.
Use it.
That works out to be a 9 plus 5, so a 14.
Sweet. Something.
So those two guards, Beleg, to your left, the ones nearest to the tavern staff begin to walk past you slowly. And as they do, Gorvas begins to stand up.
Get him before he gets away.
And that's where we'll have to leave this in bullet time. It's all so quick. Back to the top would be Rook.
Yeah.
Rook, the poison guard has just turned away because although you gave him a hell of a thing to think about, and he's definitely identified yeah. you, look at what's going on behind him. Two of his captains shouting orders, doppelganger situation. You see him turn around, and then after Rook kind of adds his, what I'm sure is going to be diplomacy to the situation, we'll jump to Steve.
So I just want to make sure there's 9 more guards upstairs.
On the second floor of the Sailor's Choice, you're correct. There are 2 lieutenants and 7 guardsmen who ran upstairs.
Yeah, and they went, from when I did my perception check, they were at the end of the hallway, right? They
at
weren't
the time,
close at the top of the stairs.
Yeah, at the time, which is now probably about, you know, a minute ago, or maybe, no, even 30 seconds ago, you had heard them definitely pass by the top of the staircase. But, you know, you remember, Rook, that this is only a 2-story building with a flat rooftop and no second staircase down. I mean, there's only one way up and one way down unless you're jumping off a 2nd or 3rd floor roof.
Okay, well, Yeah, I think I got to do this. I'm actually going to cast the Unseen Servant spell. And that'll give me a servant. So I'm going to use my spell slot to do that. And that gives me an invisible, mindless, shapeless force that performs simple tasks at my command. So he springs into existence in any unoccupied space. So I'm going to spring him into existence right on the steps in front of me.
Okay. He has AC 10, 1 hit yeah. point, strength
and
2, and it can't attack. So it's,
no.
it's like it's a very much a distraction, maybe a servant, definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to, doing that, I am going to command him to go to the top of the stairs.
Okay.
And grab a candle and light a fire.
Beautiful. What does your unseen servant look like as he sort of either materializes to you? Is he seen to you?
No, he's just he's unseen, but I control him.
Got
just with yeah. mental commands.
Okay, so he's an idea. So you project the idea of your unseen servant up the stairs, and he can interact with certainly one of those small purple candles that sits just along the aisle of 2 booths.
And I want him to set fire to the curtains, the 2 curtains on either side of the top of the stairs there, so the left and right.
And would you like this fire to start right at the stairway where the first curtain booth start, or would you like it to occur further in?
Let's go second booth. Second okay. booth. In.
Done.
And he can be up to 60 feet from me.
He's really fragile, but he's
okay,
here for
so
a bit.
This
but they don't know he's there, so.
Second yes. level.
Yeah, he is fragile.
So
but he can light a fire.
You have, I guess, used your action there, Rook.
It's a, yeah, it is. 1 action for my casting and everything.
Okay, so how do you want to do this? Do you want to leave it up to your servant? Or do you tell him to, like, come and check back in with you and make sure it's all Bernie up there?
I want him to come back and
okay.
make sure it's all Bernie.
So your conscious idea carries out your task, and just as he does so, you feel, you know, that that confirmation from your unseen servant that, yes, master, I done burned it down.
Perfect.
And you have a strong sense, Rook, that indeed a flame has been lit.
Perfect.
Thing to do. So hot it is. Right now.
And so just with that fire being lit, those guys are on their way back.
Yeah, we probably can assume. I mean, I assume these guards, just given the position that I left them in up there, because they certainly hear some shit going on downstairs over the last 30 to 36 very exciting seconds in Sailor's Choice, that, I mean, to me, they just saw a candle tip over or levitate a couple inches on its own and light a couple curtains on fire. I mean, to me, that's the only plausible way that could happen. So did they see it? Let's see. That's great. Welcome, friends and adventurers, to The Break. Thank you for listening to the penultimate episode of Season 1 of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon, and sincerely want to thank everyone who's tuned in to listen to our Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Actual Play podcast. Do remember to enter our question and answer and dice giveaway event running now. This event coincides with the final few episodes of our first season. Episode 19 will be released on March 27, 2019. That is also the deadline by which you must submit your questions, fan art, or screen-capped reviews. Friends and adventurers, this is your quest. Submit your questions, fan art, or screen-capped reviews to our Q&A and dice giveaway contest before March 27, 2019. Two winners drawn April 5th, 2019. This is your quest. Speaking of which, please allow us to introduce some friends of the show. How the quest was won.
A long, long time ago, in a land far away named Phylor, there were four legendary adventurers.
We are the Adventurous Four, renowned across the land.
Using their cunning and strength, the party defeats many monsters and saves many lives.
Nick takes his fairy blade and stabs it into his other eyeball.
Oh my gosh!
Can Hugo jump on my back? Do I cast Expeditious Retreat?
Yeah. Can Bob roll a d20 for me?
I don't like that. I don't like how you ask that.
D20 business.
What if I rolled a 1? What if I told you I just rolled a 1?
Come and join us weekly at How the Quest Was Won. Found anywhere where podcasts are located. Purchase not necessary. No real magic was used in the making of this podcast.
And now we return to Dungeons and Blackguards. On its own and light a couple curtains on fire. I mean, to me, that's the only plausible way that could happen. So did they see it? Let's see. That's great. I don't think they are suspicious, but they definitely are up there in the same arena as a fire that just started. Okay, Steve, let's jump to you real quick. What are you doing as the boardwalk of Chintadu, the main boardwalk, attaches to this alleyway that shoots right back into the building that you have to go through, you know, to actually get out onto the dock? Same building where you met Hamas, same portion where the jetty sticks out and the sea pickle should be berthed. I mean, you're pretty sure you see it out there right now bobbing away.
Okay. Is there like a little... Did we see where Hamas sort of came out of
There was sort of an upper office over the raised portion of this building where people kind of walk through, and it appeared that that's where a lot of the either people checking in valuables or weapons, if they chose to do so, rather than leave them on their boat, or they were paying, or they were leaving. So there's an upper level, and everything at the level that you see is very much just merchant marine stuff, a lot of heavy machinery, nobody around and no houses with lights on. It's quite a dark alleyway, unlike the main dock, which at this point is still very well lit, and you do see quite a lot of activity there. It seems like there are a couple of boats that arrive and maybe even leave quite a bit later than you would expect.
Okay. I want to find Hummus. Hummus?
Hungry, yep.
And I'm starving. I don't even think I got a chance to eat any of the pottage. I'm going to do so stealthily, though. I want to ninja around and look for him, see if I can find him at this dock number two, so to speak. So this little alleyway that you have me, like, I can dip into that alleyway and go stealth mode kind of thing.
The rough layout in front of you, Steve, is for you a bit of an intimidating alleyway because you don't like this sort of enclosed area. You could get up on these buildings, though. They have ample sort of rafters and ladders that you could actually probably get up.
Yep, I'll do that. I prefer that over going through the alley.
So this alley sort of bisects a corner Tetris piece-shaped building. And are you hopping up on the right rectangular building or the other shape on the other side?
Whatever's closest, I guess. I'll hop up and then just kind of like stick to the shadows. Don't create a raised sort of silhouette.
Okay, you are now at the eye level of the office, above the jetty, where you see what appears to be a couple of small lanterns, and there are round, round-shaped windows that don't appear to have glass. These are just shuttered windows. It's too far to make out. You're about 70 or 80 feet away from where this building sort of abuts the next one.
Okay. I'm going to get sneaky, and I want to go check it out. I want to see if I can find this guy, if he's in there.
Okay. You're pressed against this small, 90-degree angle where if you looked up just to the height of your shoulders and kind of peeked your nose up, you could look into this room. I'd have you make a stealth check.
Yep.
Okay.
That is plus 5, 18.
Nice.
Thanks.
Oh, wow. how are you approaching this, Steve? Are you sort of peeking in like I indicated?
Yeah, I mean, if I can get up against the wall, whatever this sort of window kind of thing is, I will just, like, come off from the side and make as little, again, as little profile through the window
as possible. You come up to the side of the shuttered window, and sure enough, the shutters are open just enough that you can kind of conceal yourself behind the open angle of the shutter and get a great view into about a 30% of this room. You can't see it all because some of the angles are blocked, but you can see the stairway that leads up to this room, and you can see it's well adorned with some nice sitting furniture and what appears to be some cots in the corner. It seems to be a large room that serves virtually every function that maybe a dock owner would have, maybe living quarters up here as well. But you don't see any people in your field of view from this window.
Okay.
And can you make you're up on this roof, Steve. I mean, I'm probably just going to say make a perception roll, please.
Sure. That is a 20.
Almost in time. As if you turned around and made it happen, Steve. Mm-hmm. A gigantic fireball launches into the night sky above Chintadu.
Oh, fuck.
It has the, sort of the shape and the appearance of a large mushroom, and appears to be back at the north tip of the docks district. You see the light before you hear a huge thunderclap, and we are going to go back. To the Sailor's Choice, where the same exact event has rattled everything and everybody in the Sailor's Choice. Take a drink, guys. Strap in.
Yeah, I just gotta grab a drink. I'll be right back.
I'm topping up my gin and tonic here. Hey.
I'm on my second Imperial IPA of the night. Nice. Yeah. Crux half hitch.
Oh, Crux, nice.
Crux half hitch.
Okay, so you guys were approximately, let's say, 100 feet away from a small nuclear blast.
I like the mushroom. The mushroom explosion.
Have you guys ever seen that silo of sawdust tipping over and self-igniting?
Yeah. Yeah. That, oh, man, that shit is that. So crazy.
So essentially, what I'm assuming is there are combustible things in this world. It certainly wasn't gunpowder or something, but this warehouse happened to be, in my mind, where those barrels were on the outside. On the inside was like a huge amount of hay, and right next to it was a giant pile of sawdust.
So if we're going back to the Sailor's Choice and we're starting, I mean, me, Kaitoa, and Bellig have all gone, isn't the one of the bouncers trying to talk? I mean, obviously now with the explosion, that's going to change, or should change, because everybody's going to be rattled, right?
I'm pretty much putting a rectangle over everybody, and everybody's going to be dazed. Roll for Constitution. No, I mean, I sort of can't believe you guys have maxed out on the fire here. But so, everybody is definitely going to have a concussive constitution saving throw.
Oh, yes.
Are you back, Kaitoa?
Yep.
Okay, a massive explosion has rattled the Sailor's Choice. All of the windows on the right side have blown in.
Yep.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, all of you would know that this came from the back of the building. There's no question about that. But you are rattled. And let's everybody make a Constitution saving throw, and I'm going to do the same.
A D20.
D20.
I got a 13.
16.
I'm going to use my inspiration on this one. That was not good.
We do need everyone on their toes.
Sorry, who said 13?
Kaitoa's got a 16.
Okay.
I used an inspiration, and my reroll got me a 13.
Yeah. You got any pluses on there?
That is with my plus. That was by far better than my other. My other was a 7, so.
Okay, so Rook, 13. Kaitoa, 16. Yeah. Beleg.
I got a 13 as well.
Hey. Okay, so let's see how the patrons do here. Oh, man. One. Okay. Oh, that's fitting. Okay. So, Gorvas is the only one left standing in your immediate vicinity, Beleg. There is a lieutenant who has also remained standing. All of those guards seem to be stunned. All of the bar staff who were closest to this concussive blast are kind of thrown. Vinny and Garl. Garl is down. Okay, whoever is still standing, and unfortunately, our good friend, Beleg, and our good friend, Rook. Can I have you make a dexterity saving throw?
Yep.
Kaitoa, you are up. You see people just blown down like leaves as they get closer to the back of the Sailor's Choice, but as you get closer to the front, the blast was not so bad.
Oh, my dex save was 21.
Fantastic. And Rook?
Oh, you son of a bitch. Do I waste, or not waste, but use another inspiration?
You can get up.
This is how you get ragdolled. This is how you're rolling for ragdoll.
I got a 10.
Rolling for ragdoll.
You gonna 10. Use that other? Okay, go.
No, I'm sticking with my 10.
Sticking with, okay. So, Rook, you are just thrown and crumpled into your little booth.
Nice.
You are going to be stunned.
Perfect.
Beleg, you managed to, with your momentum and your acrobatic agility, you managed to avoid like a serious problem that might have you landed prone, but you are momentarily, let's see, grappled by Gorvas, who has caught you as you fly into her. And so instead of being dazed, you're grappled by Gorvas.
Oh, do we test of strength this, or?
Essentially, time is going backwards, Beleg, and now that same jump and roll you did on her moments before is sort of happening again.
Do I see who tackles who?
Yes, you definitely see, you know, your Beleg one who is thrown.
The real Gorvas.
Onto the real Gorvas, who, you know, maybe was just actually saved from the majority of this blast by the fact she was not up yet. So she stands up in the moment where everybody else is thrown around a little bit.
In the case of a grapple situation, you can choose to use a strength or I think acrobatics as well to kind of like you're either like fighting against it or you're doing the shimmy roll kind of thing out of it.
Steven Seagal Aikido.
If that's the case, I want to do acrobatics.
Okay, so roll acrobatics, and I'm going to roll acrobatics as well. And we'll see who sort of comes out on top of this. And note that you now see flames from the curtains to the kitchen of the second floor here, Kaitoa. You seem to be in the best vantage point amongst all the bodies sort of moaning and then gradually coming to their senses. But, you know, really, it is a clutch moment. Here we go.
Whoa. So I rolled a 23.
Okay, so you've gained the upper hand in that move where she was trying to grapple you. So acrobatics, have you sprung loose?
Yes.
Okay.
And I am going to make a break for it.
You can move up to 30 feet. You have... Oh, actually, sorry. I'm going to have you... You can only move 15 feet, Beleg, because all of that energy just expended and your semi-dazed condition leaves you stumbling away, but 15 feet in any direction.
Go through that window. Go through the window.
Yeah, which window? This window?
The closest booth. To you.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the window I want to go for.
I meant his left, as if I was in his eyes.
Yeah.
His eyes.
So confusing. yeah, I'd love to make a break for that window.
Oh yeah. You can leap over the partition of the first bar.
Yeah.
Or sorry, the first booth.
Parkour.
And already be over four guards who are stunned in front of you, and a seeming to be mostly back on her feet after you probably gave her like a mean kick to the chest or something, and used that momentum to spring away or something. You look back, Beleg, and you see just a face of absolute fury.
And I'm going to address the guards as I'm running and say, forget about them. Investigate the fire.
Okay, so and the lieutenant the here, who is nearest, is the only one who seems to be able to take notice of you, Bellic. Everybody else is still moaning on the ground. Vinny sees you leave. He was still up. But yeah, only the lieutenant takes note. And sorry, I think I talked a bit over you. And you, you're going for the window?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Kaitoa, I guess we'll go to you because we'll have to deal with partially crumpled Rook in another way.
Sorry, Rook.
It's all again.
Yeah, and no one's like coming to or kind of getting up. Like they're still like being blown back.
Bellic just ran a hell of a
like that was quick
attention
right?
getting move. Yeah. But no, I mean everybody is now starting to stand up. That blast was 18 seconds ago.
Yeah. I just say follow him. I just yell that out and start like chasing after him.
Okay, one of these lieutenants turns back to you.
And I start moving like towards Bellic running out that window.
Okay, he looks back towards Bellic and Steve, we're gonna jump to you now. Kaitoa and Bellic, you have we'll just suspend you there in midair. Yeah. And Rook as well back at the choice to Steve.
Hey.
See, as I mentioned, really 30% of the room. There's a couple more windows and a couple more angles. You're at the moment staying stealthy.
Okay, so the explosion's just gone off. Is there any movement from inside or any noise from inside this place?
You hear immediately steps and the voice of somebody you recognize to be Gurm.
Would you look at that?
And a younger voice that you recognize to be the young dockhand, Hamas. And steps all of a sudden turning to another sound of shutters being opened, not on the side where you were looking in, Tomo, but the northward looking side. And you hear an exclamation from the window. Dear God! And it sounds like Hamas is now running down the stairs.
Okay, I'll peek in the window again. Is Gurm there?
You peek in the window and you see to your right as you peek in, Gurm peeking out the window facing the north of the dock districts. And yeah, you see him sort of silhouetted. You're looking at his back as he looks out the window, essentially 90 degrees from you.
Okay, I'll give a little whistle.
Who's that? Oh, my friend Steve. Do come in quickly. Come in. Jump in the window.
I'll hop in the window.
What are you doing here, my friend? Fireworks and shit to do? What a night.
Yeah. We went to the Sailor's Choice. And it's a fun place.
Not the missing sausage? Come on. I endorsed it heavily.
No. You said Sailor's Choice. Anyway, we went to the Sailor's Choice, and, well, there's been a little bit of an interesting situation there.
I was coming back to the...
Well, I don't think so. I think it's entirely contained. We can handle it. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure they're fine.
Boy, that's just a string of words. Why don't you tell me the goods?
Can you roll a persuasion? Something to let Gurm know, as much as Steve can, that he is genuine.
Oh, that Steve's telling the truth?
Sure.
Okay. Well, this is one of my finer points here. So 15.
Scout's honor.
Yeah, Scout's honor.
Yeah, 15 on the persuasion roll.
Okay, boy, I think I'm catching the drift of your jib here. Are you saying your friends are in close proximity to what appears to be a gigantic fireball?
I guess they're pretty close by. I assume they're probably going to be coming along. Right, they'll probably be in a bit of a rush, but did you get enough goods and shit for your boat? Are we good? Can we leave now?
Well, you know, as I saw the, odd 40 constables of Chintadu marching off northwards, I thought that couldn't be certainly my new friends. They've only been in the town about 26 minutes.
Well, it wasn't me.
And sure enough, Hamas here is great. He often kind of stalks me up. He knows my routine in and out. Usually I don't even stay the night, and it looks like you guys weren't planning to either. But tell you what, man, Steve, when Hamas comes back here, play it cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, sure, we can do that.
Okay, Hamas is coming up the stairs just as Gurm finishes his sentence. And he has a bunch of keys on a big chain, and he is running up, and there's just terror in his eyes.
Hey, man.
Oh, hello, the young member of Gurm's crew, who I met before. Not a night for second introductions, though. There's a fire, and it's close. It's really, really close. I'm worried. I have to wake up my father, and I gotta wake up our staff. I think the whole town is gonna be up in moments. You know, there's the barracks. I mean, most of them are good at fighting, but not so good at putting out fires, guys. All hands on deck.
And he starts ringing a small bell, Steve, you see, that seems to connect to a lower level. And that's where we'll leave Steve at the moment.
And now what?
Back to the Sailor's Choice. Rook, can you roll a con?
Constitution? I was going to see if I could roll a like a acrobatics or athletics.
I think you'll get up and at him once we've decided how many damage points you took.
Well, I'm going to use an inspiration on that one.
Yeah, now's the time to use that for sure.
Oh, snap! Nat 20. Yes.
Okay. Surprisingly, 22. Rook, although you are shook up, you took no damage, and it's only been, you know, a couple heartbeats, and you're back up and to your senses. You shake it off, but there is a terrible ringing in your ears, and you're still there in the guard booth where you've been, poison spraying and unseen servicing. I mean, hey man, just play the whole game from the booth.
Perfect. Exactly. The guys on the second floor, they're out of it too, right?
As far as you can tell, everybody down here is still moaning and groaning, except for Gorvas, who is launching towards the window where Beleg is similarly launching. And you can just see this. You don't see Kaitoa, and all you see is flames from above you, or at least the reflection of flames on the stairwell.
Okay, I'm going to dash to the kitchen. I'm coming out of my nook and cranny there, and I'm going to make a run. But first, before I do that, I'm actually going to shed my scale mail. So I'm going to take off my scale mail, leave it in the booth.
Okay.
And I'm going to make a run
streaking!
Yeah, I'm going over there.
Through the gymnasium into the quad.
Exactly.
We're going streaking.
Like a town of Chintu so far as a naked half orc running around
the kitchen as I can.
Okay, as you pass the prone bar staff, you do see Vilba, the tall, dark-haired server, look up and take note of you leaving Rook. Similarly, the poison guard, who called you by your family name, starts to come to, and he also sees you making your way just through the curtains, and that's your—that's about the range you're going to get, and you're just through those curtains.
OK, Can I turn? Oh, fuck. Should I do intimidation or stealth here?
Run.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna continue. Running.
Okay, so you're out of foot paces at the moment, but you have exited the booth. You're off into the kitchen through those curtains. Kaitoa and Beleg, we are definitely out of initiative. That initiative role that included all the guards in here is now sort of replaced with this moment in time. Beleg, what do you do?
I go for the window.
Okay.
And I'm gonna do everything to get myself to the docks.
That's a broken porthole window is quite small. And can I just have you make a quick acrobatics check as you get through that?
Yes, sir. That's a 14.
Nice. So you clear this window, and how do you fly through here?
Gracefully.
Gracefully land on the outside, the rough gravel and sort of pebbles of this portion. And you see a couple of guards, Beleg, on this side, that look like they took it far, far worse. They didn't have the shelter of a couple walls here like you do. Oops. And you see scorched backs and a couple guards just face down on the boardwalk and in the sand. Kaitoa!
Can I see, does the guy beside me, does he react and move at all?
Everybody before? Just saw this,
is anyone this figure with him?
Who looked like exactly like the captain of the Constabulary of Chintadu. Everybody just saw this person fly out the window, and mainly the lieutenant you asked about is looking right there, and to his left is Gorvas, who seems to be, making her way to do almost the same stool to table jump. Yep.
I'm gonna run after Rook. And now that I see like Gorvas going, the other guy looking at Beleg, I'm gonna now just run, follow Rook and this other guy who is going after him.
Okay, so you are hot on the pursuit of Rook, who's just making those curtains fly a little bit. Can you do a quick dexterity roll?
Yep. I have 19.
Oh, as the poison guard looks up and reaches for your leg, Kaitoa, you instead just stomp his head into the floorboards.
Sweet.
You're at the moment only seen, it appears, by the stomped guard, Vilba, who seems to have stood up. Quickly to Beleg, let's solve your direction. You said you wanted to
head to the docks. That just seems like the logical place to go.
You know exactly where to go. The boardwalk here terminates, right at the Sailor's Choice. You can make your way along back through the buildings to the left, but it looks like a burned wasteland. You see fire licking up all the timbers of this warehouse. You see the adjacent buildings starting to ignite as well as fire creeps along the alleyways.
All right.
Boardwalk or apocalypse?
Boardwalk.
Okay. Along the boardwalk you go, and you're now going to make it well onto the boardwalk, and you're running fast, are you?
Yes.
Okay, can you make a quick perception roll?
Yes. Who? I'm running really fast and not paying attention to much else. That's a 6.
But that does carry you down the boardwalk, and you see lanterns starting to come up from the docks district. Appears a lot of people hearing this massive sound and seeing the fireball and now seeing the ensuing flames from this northern tip of the district are coming out with buckets. And it appears that it's not the first time. Obviously, there's been a fire. There does seem to be like a volunteer sort of fire line starting to materialize. But, I mean, nobody's even got a bucket full of water. But they are all running in the opposite direction, about 200 feet towards you, Beleg.
I'm going to cast Disguise Self to stop looking like Gorvas.
Okay.
Just look like a, 5'5", black-haired, ruddy-looking human teenager.
You're a very unassuming port town boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Rook, you are now through those curtains. You hear a lumbering and a stomping behind you. Roll a quick perception, will ya?
Okay.
And it is
7.
What's that stomping?
Someone's head.
You're not sure.
I probably can't tell, but I'm going to keep running. Yeah. To the back door. And
as your ears, are still ringing, you fly out this back door, and it is just like charcoal and charred back of this building. I mean, it seems like there was a literal explosion back here. You see mostly to your left as you open the door here, which itself has caught a flame. You see a complete impassable way between you and the mercantile warehouse, which is completely engulfed in flames. Off to your right, you see a couple of guards will look like face down. Beyond that, you see the boardwalk, which is about 150 feet away.
Yeah, I'm going towards the boardwalk.
You can make it, about half of the way there, and slowly the party is leaving. The Sailor's Choice, Kaitoa, what you up to, bud? You have a springy half-orc guard head under your foot, and as you spring off him through the kitchen curtains, you're now in the kitchen, and you see a door just closing. Slightly aflame, and the door closes shut and sort of clicks.
I'm just going to walk forward and do like a big power kick to this door.
Roll a strength. I mean, you're going to knock it down, but let's just see how bad this door's life is going to end.
Do you obliterate it?
Okay, I'm going to roll for it anyways. But 16 plus my strength, 6 or 5, so 21.
You just bash through this door, and I mean, it comes down like a castle drawbridge. Boom! All in one flaming piece, and you see what definitely looks like the outline of your companion, Rook, minus some armor that used to seem to wear, but he seems to be, dashing pretty nimbly over a couple of guards who are charred. They seem to be moving a little bit now, these guards on the outside, and one of them actually seems to be wailing now off to your left.
I walk right out. I take a scan around, and I assume I see the burnt pathway and the boardwalk pathway and what I think is my friend running down there.
Yeah, correct.
I go right after him. I push the burning dudes out of the way and run after him.
Okay, the burning guards recede past you, and you are now stomping along the same path that you see what you feel to be probably Rook, and you back guys are out of this building that is now, as you move away from it, you realize on fire of its own accord from the second floor.
Bizarre.
The few windows and the shabbily built
second level entrance are just spewing black, black smoke, which you know is that's a fire inside.
Yeah.
Fire, I don't know who did that one.
I follow Rook, who I imagine is going to the docks.
Yeah, I'm running to the docks.
Yeah.
And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Hey! It's me, Garm, the gnome! Well, my grating voice will surprise anybody who's stuck around until after the outro music. Well,
I'm glad you did stick around there, my love. I'm glad you did stick around. Because if you do submit some fan art, I encourage you to submit it of me, Garm/Mickey. And if you do so, I will personally award you an extra 5 entries into our Q&A and dice giveaway event running right now. That's right, right now. But it does close, see, love. This is the penultimate episode right here. The next episode's episode 19. It's the end of season 1, love. So get your questions, fan art, or podcast reviews in now. 2 winners drawn April 5th. 2019 of the current era. Signing off, Mickey.
Oh, sorry. I meant Gurm. Yes, Gurm.